The Parshas Bahar has a bunch of important mitzvahs. It's heavy on Shemitah, but it also speaks about Yovel. So the Torah says, "Va'aretz lo simaker l'tzmisus." The land is never sold indefinitely. Any piece of land that you sell, says the Torah, it eventually will come back to the original owner. Ki li ha'aretz, says Hashem, because the land is mine. Ki gerim v'soshavim atem imadi, because you are sojourners. You're guests here with me in the land. That's what it says over here. Now, the closing phrase of the pasuk is unclear. It says that we're gerim and toshavim. A ger means somebody who is just a guest. A toshav means somebody who is permanently there. You can't be a ger and a toshav at the same time. You can't own the land and also be a guest in the land. The two things are contradictory. So I want to read here a piece from the Dubna Magid. I don't think we've learned a piece in the Dubna Magid before. Rav Yaakov Krantz. Rav Yaakov Krantz was the Magid in the city of Dubna, and he walked around and he traveled and he gave drushas and speeches. He was very, very close to the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon would often invite him to his beis medrash to come, give him mussar and give him chizik. He was a really remarkable speaker, and he's famous for his mishalim. He's famous for his parables that many of you know, even if you don't know that it's the parable of the Dubna Magid. So all of his drushos are written up in the Sefer Ohel Yaakov. So this is, in fact, not in this week's Parsha. This, he's actually talking about this Pasuk, but he's talking about, this is in Parshas Chayisara, but it relates to this Pasuk. Let's see what the Dubna Magid says. He says, L'pruzdor b'fnei ha'olam haba, haskein atzimacha b'pruzdor k'dei she'tekanus the traklet. He says that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us that this world is just an entranceway to the palace. The palace is in Olam Haba, and this way, this world, everybody has, and this world is just a a pathway in order to get to the palace. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos and Perek Daled. Says the Dubna Magid, Ki kol yimei ha'adam ba'aretz hu kiger ba'aretz nachriya hu ka'orech nata lalun. He says the entire time that a person spends in this world, we are only a stranger here. This is not where we're supposed to remain. The neshama is supposed to land and supposed to be forever in Olam Haba. Ukmamar, as it says in Tehillim, Ger anochi ba'aretz, al taster mimeni mitzvosecha. Says David HaMelech, I'm a visitor within the world, don't hide your mitzvos from me. Kolomar, meaning, kol ikar havayosi ba'olam hahu, that David is pleading for Hashem to keep the mitzvos and arguing that he's but a visitor in this world. And the only reason he is here is to amass a stock of mitzvos and Torah that will allow him to enter into Olam Haba. Achli al tasti b'meni mitzvosecha. And therefore, says David to Hashem, don't hide your mitzvos from me. V'al kein hachiyuv, ki ha'adam yashlich acharei gavo, kol yoni v'iska olam hazeh. And this is how it is for all of us. It behooves a person to cast aside his attachments to this world, via torasso keva umalachto arai, and to make his Torah, his ruchnius, spiritual things, the main thing in this world, and all worldly occupations should only be incidental. V'ulayza romes hakasuv. And this is hinted to in the pasuk in this week's parsha, bottom of that first column. Va'aretz lo simaker l'tzmisus ki li ha'aretz. That it says that the land should not be sold forever because the land is mine. That Hashem is telling the Jewish people, klomar, gama shehechnesi eschem la'aretz Yisrael. Even though I brought you in to Eretz Yisrael, he says, "Lo shitzia etzleichem mitzmisus." I did not mean that you should stay in Eretz Yisrael as an individual. The Jewish people, yes, but Eretz Yisrael does not mean that you, as an individual, live there forever. Rather, ki im leman hayos lachem makom hamuchshar lekinyan hashlemus. I brought you to Eretz Yisrael to provide you an environment that will be conducive to attain spiritual wholeness. In the limited number of days that you'll dwell in this world. Velo shetasimu inyanechem viskechem ba'olam hazeh, B'kvias k'maisa hatoshav osa b'shalau. Don't regard your worldly dealings as a fixed occupation, as if you are settlers working your own land. And therefore, v'zeo shesayim, this is how the pasuk concludes, v'omar ki geirim v'toshavim. The land is mine, that you are visitors and settlers. Atem imadi, kolomar, bein shaninu, echad ger, v'echad toshav. And therefore, one has the status of a visitor, and the other has the status of a settler. We speak in both aspects. Yes, we live in this world, and we do have possessions, but we have to have the worldview that we are only here temporarily. This is a beautiful line. If we act like visitors in the land, and making our worldly occupations only incidental, then we make Hashem a settler. That His Torah and His mitzvahs become the key fixture in our lives. But if we act like settlers and we immerse ourselves in worldly affairs, and I care about the things that have to do with this world, but not the things that have to do with Olam Haba, then Hashem becomes an incidental visitor. If Hashem becomes like a guest, says the Divna Magid, it's up to you. Do you want to live in a world where Hashem is the permanent thing, the permanent fixture? Or do you want to live in a world where Hashem is like the guest? The most important things are physical things. The most important things are things that are not related to Ruchnias. And Hashem becomes like a guest. And therefore it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra, Imtelchu imi bakeri, that a person walks with Hashem haphazardly, that Hashem is not my main focus. That my main focus in this world is other things besides Hashem, His Torah, and His mitzvos. Once a visitor came to the house of the Chafetz Chaim. You know, many visitors, but once there was a visitor who came, and he was waiting for the Chafetz Chaim to come in, and he was in this room, and he thought he was in, like, the waiting room, like the guest room, before he walked into the rest of the house. And he began to realize very quickly that the table and a few boards of wood nailed together and a few old benches was the main room. That was it. This is all the Chafetz Chaim's house. So the Chafetz Chaim walks into the house, and the guest said to him, "You know, Rebbe, you don't have to talk to me here. Let's go inside." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "This is my inside. This is my whole house." So he said, "But where's the furniture?" And the Chafetz Chaim said, "Well, where's your furniture?" So the man said, "Well, I live in America, so I didn't bring my furniture with me." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "I'm also just traveling through. My destination is Olam Haba. This is all the furniture that I need." The Chafetz Chaim's focus was on Hashem and Torah and Ruchnias. It was not important to him to have the trappings and the extra things. And when you're totally focused on what is the Iker, then the other things become less important. Does it match exactly? And does it have to be just like this? And there's a scratch over here. You know, when you move into a new house, we're very obsessed. There shouldn't be a scratch on the walls. They're going to be painted. And the floor shouldn't get scuffed. And everything is just right. And then, if you have any children, you realize that nobody cares at all. And within a few days and a few months, there are nicks everywhere, there are scratches everywhere, the paint is peeling. But you have to focus on what's important. Do you want a house that your children can function and live in and be normal? Or do you want them to live in a miserable museum where they can't touch anything and they have to take off their shoes when they walk into the living room? Again, this is not a knock on people who make you take off your shoes. But they're generally less happy people than people who don't. Let people who are so obsessed that there should be something on their carpet, but they make their guests undress when they come into their house, that's a misguided focus on what the ikker thing and what the important thing is. You want to bring people into your house to do hachnasas orchem, and you want people to feel comfortable, and you make them get undressed when you come to the house. That's a misguided focus on what the ikker is and what the tuffle is. Are you here? Your house is your main thing in life. Then there should not be a scuff on the carpet. That's the most important thing. That's turning this world into the toshav, that this is the ikker, and it turns everything else into the secondary. We are here to fulfill an important function. It's not enough just to say over the story of the Chafetz Chaim, but we have to learn to think about that and to adapt that into our lives. What are we here for? What is the ikker? I'm here to get to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the main goal, to perfect my neshama, to come close to Hashem, to lift myself up with those around me, and then allow myself access to Olam Haba. That is the reason why we're here. And the more we are conscious of that, and the more we think about it, then other things in life that seem to rub us the wrong way and irritate us or get us all worked up, they become less important. Because in most cases, who cares? It's simply not the main thing. Rishon Volbe, the famed Mashiach, the author of Ali Shor, he was once on a flight. And while he was on the flight, this international flight, he was writing a letter to a Talmud of his. And he introduced the letter by sharing an insight he had when he was on the plane. He said that the plane covers huge amounts of distance in a very short amount of time. At the same time, there are very fast cars, and there's bullet trains, you know, that can travel hundreds of miles per hour, and they can go from the top of Japan to the bottom of Japan in a matter of hours. They can cover huge distances. At the same time, they will never ever attain the level of speed as a plane. What is it that a plane can do, or that a train or a car has, that allows the plane to fly much faster than a land vehicle could ever accomplish? So Volbe said, because as long as the train is on the ground and it's tied to the earth, it's bound by what it can attain. The tracks limit the train because friction holds it in place. No matter how much a person tries to accomplish and tries to grow, writes Volbe, the more you're bound by the ground, the more you're bound by the chomer of this world, the more difficult it is to reach great heights in spirituality. But if we are more like planes and we raise ourselves above the ground, we can travel much higher, much faster, and accomplish much more. Rabbi Victor Miller suggests that in order to remind Am Yisrael of their condition in this world, that's why Yovel is necessary. The whole purpose of Yovel in this week's Parsha is to remind the Jewish people that this is not what it's all about. Imagine every 50 years, there's a national lesson to all the Jewish people. Everybody becomes aware. Even people who weren't thinking about it and don't think about spiritual things are shot into this incredible moment where there's a huge tumult. The roads are jammed. There's traffic everywhere. Why? Because everyone has to pick up their stuff and move back to where they lived 50 years ago. And the whole Eretz Yisrael is thrown into this huge tumult and this huge mess. We think, oh, Yovel, it's very cute, it's very nice. I go back to my, you know, mommy's house and, like, you know, we hang out there and I guess their land back. It uproots and changes all the Eretz Yisrael every 50 years. Everything goes back and there's wagons in the rows and there's cows being pulled and there's donkeys being slept over here. Everything goes back to the ancestral homeland. And therefore a person says, what's going on here? And Hashem says, I'm telling you as open as I could be. Ki li kol ha'aretz. The land is mine, it's not yours. You put a beautiful fence up over here, and you had a very nice house and a beautiful car, and you had very fancy trimming along the on the top, and the curtains were picked out in a match. And says Hashem, nobody cares. Ki li kol ha'aretz. The land is mine. It does not belong to you. You're only strangers. Ki gerim v'soshavim atami madi. It doesn't belong to anyone. It only belongs to the original owner, and that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's true. We don't have Yovel nowadays. So what can we do to bring Yovel, or the lessons of Yovel, into our daily lives? I don't have the privilege to be reminded with this earth-shattering event of schlepping all my stuff from the top of Eretz Yisrael to the bottom of Eretz Yisrael. But we do have some things. So Victor Miller suggests one of the things that we have that gives us a Yovel-like reminder is on our doorposts. Uchsavtem al mezuzos pesacha. That's one of the important reasons for the mezuzah. Whenever you walk into a doorway, in your house, in someone else's house, wherever it may be, and you say, ah, this is my house, and I'm paying the mortgage, and I saved up for years, and I love this home, I feel so comfortable here, and it's beautiful, and for years and years and years, I have the deed, this is mine, it's all in my possession. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 100% incorrect. That house does not belong to you. Every single time you pass by the mezuzah, you are reminded that there is a real landlord. There was someone who actually owns this house. And the mezuzah is a remarkable opportunity to have a mini Yovel. Whenever you walk into your house, you look at the mezuzah, and you take advantage, even if it's once a day, and you say to yourself, Ki li kol aretz. The whole world belongs to Hashem. I I think this house is mine, but it's really not. It all belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just as our Bubbies and Zadies did in Eretz Yisrael, when they schlepped back and forth, they were reminded that what they thought was theirs was not, Kili Kol Aretz. Rav Yaakov Naiman, he writes in his Darkei Musar that happiness comes from recognizing that this world is ultimately temporary and the relationship with Hashem is eternal. He says, happy people are people who are not so invested in Olam Hazeh. Happy people are people who are invested in Olam Haba. I think we have this view of ourselves. A person who thinks about Olam Haba all the time or thinking about only Ruchnius is probably a very sad person, and they're hunched over and they're wringing their hands and they're very serious and they never laugh anymore because they're so scared of Olam Haba. No, the opposite, I would tell you. A person who thinks about Hashem and thinks about Ruchnius, and a person who contemplates Olam Haba and what their role is in this world, they're happier, they're more well-rounded, and they're better off. Because they're not obsessed with minutia and details that are so unimportant in the big picture of who they are. Rav Dessler writes in the Mechta Malyon Chelik Beis, he says that if we recognize that the world is temporary, we will live in peace. If you recognize that you live in a world that we are only here for a limited amount of time, and our stuff and our possessions and our job and our careers and all the things around us are only here for a fleeting moment in the history of the world, you will be a person of shalom, because you will only care about things that are ruchnius. And if somebody cuts you off in traffic, so what? And if somebody gets a position at a job that you wanted to have, and whatever, so you'll find something else. We're not saying you have to be a shmata that people tread on you. That's not what we're saying. You can have a backbone and not be made miserable. But not every single thing needs to cause so much tension. Not every single thing needs to cause someone to be so uptight if something doesn't go the way they want. Because you're often focused on what's going to be now and what's going to be next week and what's going to be in the future. What the future is going to be is eventually we're all going to leave this world. Our neshama is going to Olam Haba and we'll deal with it then. That's the real future. That's what's going to be in the future. Let's just look at a beautiful piece from Rav Yerucham Levavitz. Let's look in the Das Torah. And he says beautiful ideas. He's speaking to this idea, and he tells two ideas that relate to one another. He says, Yesh Sipur al Hagon Rav Chaim Mivolozhin Zal. There is a story that is told about the great Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, the Talmud Mivolozhin of the Gra. So, Shabo Lefanim Shnei Balei Devarim Merivim. There was a Din Torah. Rav Chaim Mivolozhin was not just the Rosh Yeshiva Mivolozhin, he was the Rav of the town. He was the Rav of Mivolozhin as well. He was a posek, he was a wrote Shalos and Shuvos. We lost many of those Shalos and Shuvos in the fire, so we only have a few that remain. But besides being a Rosh Yeshiva and a Baal Machshav and writing Nefesh HaChaim, he also passed in Shilas. So someone had a Din Torah, and they came to Rav Chaim for a fight. Zeim Zeh, Odos Karka Echas, Asher Kol Echad Toin Vetzavach Kishalohi. They were arguing over a piece of land. Each one was claiming it was theirs. Contemporary times, they're arguing over a piece of real estate. This one says it's mine, I had first rights. This one said I should have gotten this house. They offered the price at $1 million, and I came in, and this person tried to sue, and it offered for $1.2 million, and it's not fair. I had first rights, they should have told me. It should have been my deal. I was the one who suggested the shidduch, and now this person wants to take the money from me. If I don't get the shidduch, I'm off one from my three for Olam Haba. What's going to happen to me? I'm not going to get the money. And each one comes and says, it's mine. This belongs to me. This piece of land is mine and not the other person's. So they sit for this Din Torah. Rav Chaim sits there, and he hears both sides. This one says it's supposed to be mine. This one said it's supposed to be mine. V'kafaf asma Rav Chaim. So he said, come with me. Let's go out to that piece of land. So they say, okay, what's going on here? Rav Chaim Mivolozhin says, walk. So they walk. They put on their coats, they go outside. They walk down the path to where this field is in dispute. And the Rav Chaim says to them, tell me the points again. Let me hear what you're saying. So they say, okay, this one says, this is mine. I bought it. I had rights to it. This says, no, it's mine. I bought a rights to it. Someone promised to me. He moved his fence or he's moved my fence. And they're getting bickering, right? You ever see two people are fighting and you try to calm them down. All of a sudden they start it up again, right? And they just cannot be calm. They're so annoyed. They cannot speak calmly to one another. So Rav Chaim says, ooh, 1 second. Stop. Give me a moment. And he bends down to the ground and he puts his ear to the field. And he starts listening to the field. V'shalu ha'omdim al uvda mahi. So the two people turn to each other and say, the Rav of Elazar has gone crazy. He's nuts. What is he doing? So Rav Chaim said, no, 1 second, stop. And he's listening to the ground. And he says, ooh, the ground's talking to me. The ground has something to say. So they look, oh, he's really nuts. He's mamish out of his mind. The ground is talking to Rav Chaim V'Lashon. So he says, Ratzisi l'shmo le'dama ha'karka omeras al zuha meriva. I wanted to hear what the ground has to say about this argument. They're arguing over this field. Well, let's see what the field has to say. V'shamas omeras. So the ground said, so Rav Chaim, this is what I heard. Halo shneichem. He says, these two people, this one says it's mine, this one said it's mine. The ground said, in a few years, they'll both be mine. We argue over such silly things about it has to be mine, and I have the rights to it, and it's not fair, and I didn't get invited over here, and this really is for me, and it's supposed to be my possession. And we get so obsessed over things that do not matter in the big picture. I don't mean the big picture 20 years from now. I mean big picture nitzchias, like where all of our neshamas are going, and the ground says, well, I belong to you? Don't worry. You'll be mine in a few years. You'll be in here with me, and that's the end of the story. Says the Gemara Maseches Gittin Tasamaches, Yesh Maisa al Ashmedai. Ashmedai was the king of the Shadim. It's a famous Gemara with Shlomo HaMelech. Kishaholichu Benayo Ben Yehoyada. Benayo Ben Yehoyada was sent by Shlomo HaMelech to capture Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, so we could find the Shamir worm to build the Beis HaMikdash. We know the basics of the story, maybe. Ubederach, on the way, after he captured him, Shamalahu Gavadho Kamar Ushbecha. So Ashmedai could hear all types of conversations. And he began to laugh. And he heard a person telling the shoemaker, make me shoes, Abed le Mesani l'shem Shani Achicha. Make me shoes that could last for 7 years. So Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, started to laugh and smile. So Yehoda ben Ayo ben Yehoda said to him, why are you smiling? So he said, 7 years. He says, this guy's not going to live out 7 days. What does he need shoes for 7 years for? We're so short-sighted when it comes to plans of how I'm so confident and this is the way it's going to be. And Hashem says, I have other plans. But if we would not be so focused on what's going to be here and the now, and we thought more about ki li kol aretz, that it all belongs to Hashem, we'd be certainly in a much better place. And says Rabbi Yerucham, if we tell ourselves and we take a look at our affairs, our life, our behaviors, our speech, lo istakanu al atzmenu, yiros kol iskav shel ha'adam, kol yemei chayav, and we look at our ruchnius, our Torah, and our tefillah, and our midos, hanagosav diburo v'chol pitputav, and our silly conversations, and the wasting of our time, we would look back and we would laugh. We would laugh, comical, of all the things we were so obsessed with and we wasted our time with. And therefore the Torah wants us to know in the midst of Yoel, we have to be focused on what's important, real, real importance. Ruchnius, Olam Haba, our neshama, and all the things in the world become temporary, and that will become our permanent thing. Okay.